Hazard Audio.
This week, Steve and Matt get into the biggest stories making headlines, plus the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness on top of the comprehensive NFL preview. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
Go find us on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. We use your tweets on the Tweet Zone every single week, so hit us up there. All the show's music is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can find all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. We're produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to continue with our NFL preview. We're going to do some sports madness. But first, we're going to start with some quick hits. We got a few stories to talk about real quick, so let's do it. Let's start with golf. The PGA Championship is going on this weekend. Rory McIlroy is actually playing. We weren't sure if he'd play or not. He's not doing that well, though. The big story here is the Americans. The Americans have won all three majors this year. This could be the first time we sweep the majors since 1982.
Jordan Spieth is having another good tournament, although he's not in first at the moment.
Today's Saturday. He's currently tied for sixth, but there are eight Americans within five or six shots of the lead with 2 days to play. So we really could easily have another American win this tournament.
And coming to us with some bad news from Chicago, first-round draft pick, seventh overall, Kevin White is out probably for the season with a stress fracture in his shin. He was dealing with some issues to his shins and was taking it easy. And as soon as he started training out of a pool and on grass again, he suffered a stress fracture, or at least aggravated an already but undisclosed stress fracture in his shin.
Yeah, the Bears have been noncommittal that they're not going to say he's out for the season or if he's going to be back this season. I think they don't know. But it does look like he could possibly be out for the season. This is a bad break for the Bears, no pun intended.
Whether or not he's out for the season, he's missing out on valuable developmental time at this early stage in his NFL career.
Speaking of missing time, Geno Smith got punched in the face by his teammate. It got his jaw broken in a couple places.
Yeah, over an argument over $600, Geno Smith was going to go to his teammate I.K. and Impali's football camp. Then he ended up having a death in the family or a close friend died or something, and he had to miss it. But he didn't let him know, and I.K. had already paid $600 for Geno's plane ticket out there and wanted Geno to pay him back. Geno said he would pay him back, but hadn't done so yet. They got into an argument over it. And apparently, IK sucker punched him in the jaw and broke it in two places.
Jets fans aren't even mad about this, because I think as a group, we all feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick's the better quarterback for the team anyway. But the thing I don't like about the story is all the analysts saying this calls into question Geno's leadership skills. I don't understand that. I mean, they're saying, oh, he shouldn't have put himself in that situation, and he's not respected in the locker room. But if something like this happened to Drew Brees, they wouldn't be saying, oh, it's because he's not a good leader. This linebacker's just crazy. He's been arrested before for assaulting a police officer.
What are you talking about, Steve? Geno Smith was antagonizing the guy. He was shaking his finger in his face, saying, well, guess what? I'm not going to pay you back. At least those are the reports I'm hearing. Hitting him is going too far, but Geno was being a dick. It was not good leadership quality.
Well, if being a dick is a crime, Jay Cutler should be in prison for life.
I wish, because then we'd be out of that horrible fucking contract.
All right, let's move on to Steve Smith, who reportedly is retiring after this season. Do you believe him?
Yes, I do believe him. He's 36 years old. His production has tailed off a little bit recently, although he still did put up over 1,000 receiving yards last year. But if a guy says he's retiring next year, unless it's Michael Jordan, I tend to believe the guy.
I think there's one thing that could make him come back after this year. He has 915 career receptions right now, so if he doesn't get 85 this year to get to 1,000, I think it's going to be tempting for him to come back one more year. Football, it seems like, is the sport that has the most guys say they're going to retire, and then they come back. Because it's just the grind of the preseason, and then their body gets beat up, and at the end of the year, they're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But then they get out there week one, they're like, oh, that's right. Nothing I could ever do in my life is going to be as great as this.
Yeah, that's right. And then also a lot of post-football players say that the thing they miss most is just being with the guys. The games are great. They love playing the games, but the team camaraderie is the best thing for it. Now, he just switched teams. He'll be on his second year with Baltimore. It looks like they have a pretty close locker room. They've always had a pretty good rapport. So if he really gets into the swing of things there, I could definitely see him deciding to come back and not wanting to give up on that team camaraderie.
Right, and I think the 1,000 receptions is the big thing for him. He needs 85 to do it this year, which he has not done since 2007. So with that, let's throw it to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Okay, let's get right into it. Coming to us from at HAJJ Gentle from Daytona Beach. Who do you think will have the better season as a rookie, Winston or Mariota?
I'm going to go with Mariota. I don't think he's going to be asked to do as much. I think Winston is going to throw way too many interceptions this season. Ultimately, I expect Winston to be the better pro quarterback, but this year I see Winston having more growing pains.
It's interesting you say the word growing, because Jameis Winston is going to have a better season for two reasons. Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, and both of them guys are big boys. He has two huge weapons on the offense there. He's got Doug Martin coming back, which everyone says he's in better shape than he was 2 years ago. So that offense is really going to be clicking. With Marcus Mariota, I don't really see the weapons there.
Yeah, wait a minute, though. You're talking about a Lovie Smith-coached offense, and it's going to be clicking? I'll believe that shit when I see it.
You're going to see it this year.
Our next tweet, at MJFree39. With fantasy drafts coming up, do you take Peterson or Bell with your first pick, even with Bell's suspension? Hashtag love football talk.
I take Adrian Peterson. I mean, Lev Bell's going to miss two games, so that factors in when you're trying to decide between two guys. It's not a huge factor, but I do see it as a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I don't even care about Le'Veon Bell missing the two games. I take Adrian Peterson anyway because he's coming back thirsty. He's got something to prove. He missed almost the entire season last year. He's going to be fresh. He's going to be rested. And he's hungry. So it's definitely going to be Adrian Peterson this year. Now, next year, I would probably have to take Le'Veon Bell. We'll see how things unfold this year. But AP is going to be vicious this year.
I'm with you. Adrian Peterson is my number one rated running back this year. Lev Bell is great, too. You can't go wrong with him. And the two-game suspension thing, I just want to say, don't let that scare you. If he's there in the first round, you're picking fourth, fifth, or whatever, take Lev Bell, because he's going to be good at the end of the season. That's when you're going to need him. And the only other thing I'm going to say is, if this is a PPR league or a dynasty league, take Lev Bell over Peterson.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson is going to be just beating up on those kids out there.
And our next one is coming to us a little bit from left field, at James Christian 1. Who is Stephen Curry's next team?
The Golden State Warriors?
Probably.
Why would he ever leave? He has the perfect situation there. They just won a championship. He has a coach who was basically Steph Curry before Steph Curry, although Curry's better. But it's just a fantastic situation for him. I don't know why he would ever go anywhere.
He wouldn't. And he's a local legend there already. They're going to give him an extension. I don't think he's even going to hit free agency. He still has 2 years left on his contract. Don't expect him to go anywhere. They've got a shot to win a lot of championships in the next few years.
That wraps up the Tweet Zone. When we come back, we're going to dive right into the NFL preseason breakdown.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com. And this is Sports Appeal. We're going to jump right into our NFL season preview. Last week, we did the AFC West, AFC North, and AFC South. This week, we're going to do NFC West, NFC South, and NFC East. So let's start in the West with the almost Super Bowl champions, Seattle Seahawks. 12-4 last year, and they came so, so close.
Yes, they did. Goal line play, last play of the game, threw an interception.
Brutal, yeah. They're going to have to bounce back from that, and they have every opportunity to do so. This team looks strong.
Yes, they do. Now, they locked up Russell Wilson, extended him 4 years, $87 million, with $61 million guaranteed, which sounds about right for his production.
Yeah, that absolutely does. And their defense is still really strong. They had the number one defense in yards per game last year. They were number one in passing yards per game and number three in rushing yards per game. And they also had the number one rushing offense. So a team like that, you absolutely have a chance to go back to the Super Bowl again this year. And they added a huge weapon, Jimmy Graham.
Yes, they did. Now, unfortunately, they had to give up Max Unger to get him. Max Unger was the best player on what was really a subpar offensive line, and now it's going to be even worse, most likely. So they're going to have trouble protecting Russell Wilson in the pocket. They're a good run-blocking O-line, so that really helps with Marshawn Lynch and their devastating rushing attack. But their passing game is a little suspect sometimes, and it's largely because they can't protect Wilson very well.
That's true, and they haven't really had a true number one wide receiver before. They did draft Tyler Lockett out of Kansas State, who that kid is quick. He's not a number one wide receiver because he's not, you know, he's not one of those 6'3", 225-pound guys, but he is super fast and super talented.
And they've had some pretty great success even without having a number one wide receiver over the last several years. And now having Jimmy Graham, he'll essentially fill in that role because he's basically going to play the role of a wide receiver. He doesn't do much of the pass blocking type tight end stuff.
And before we get into the two teams in this division that you and I disagree on, let's talk about the 49ers because they're going to be bad.
Yes, they are. The 49ers went 8-8 last year despite having a pretty good amount of talent on the team and one of the best head coaches in the league. And a lot of that was just due to internal dysfunction, which is a big part of the reason Jim Harbaugh is gone now. But they went 8-8 last year, like I said, and then they lost everyone in the offseason.
Everyone!
They lost Justin Smith, Ray McDonald, Patrick Willis, Chris Borland, Frank Gore, LaMichael James, Michael Crabtree, Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd, Mike Iupati, Parrish Cox, Chris Culliver, Anthony Davis, and maybe Alden Smith. There's a ton of talent right there.
Yeah, not to mention their entire coaching staff for the most part.
Right, and out of that list of players, that's 5 defensive starters. 6 if you count Borland, who wasn't really a starter at the beginning of the year, but he was certainly a starter-caliber player by the end of the season.
They did make some interesting moves in the offseason to try and retool. They signed Reggie Bush, who is definitely a viable player. When he's used effectively, he can be a devastating player in both the passing and the running game. They also signed Jared Hayne out of professional rugby. He is one of the best rugby players on the planet, if not the best. An absolute superstar. And they signed him to a 3-year deal as a running back. So that's an intriguing move. We'll see if it pays dividends for them.
They also got Torrey Smith from Baltimore, and they drafted DeAndre Smelter, wide receiver out of Georgia Tech. This kid has a ton of potential. He would have been getting buzzed as a first-round draft pick, but he tore his ACL. He's a giant kid. He's really fast, and he's been getting a lot of good buzz out of training camp. He gets compared to guys like Eric Decker a lot, so I'm going to have my eye on him. The 49ers kind of wiped the slate clean. They have a lot of new pieces, so I really have no idea what to expect from them, but I don't expect it to be good.
Yeah, they promoted their defensive line coach, Jim Tomsula, to head coach, and shortly after, he gave one of the worst press conferences ever. So they should struggle next year. Now, speaking of teams that have struggled, the Rams, they went 6-10 last year, but I expect them to be better this year, partly because the 49ers won't be as good, and partly just because they didn't make huge offseason moves except for trading Sam Bradford for Nick Foles.
It's a huge move.
That is a huge move, but that was really the only big move they made. The biggest story for this team is the development of their young talent that they got from that just overhaul of draft picks from the Redskins trade for RG3.
I disagree with you that they didn't make any big moves this offseason. They got Nick Fairley on an already beastly defensive line. And then in the draft, they did all. I love their draft. They got Todd Gurley, like you said. And then they used 3 other picks on offensive tackles, took another offensive tackle in the supplemental draft. And they got Sean Mannion at Oregon State, who's a quarterback that has potential to be a starter in this league if Nick Foles doesn't work out. So they have largely the same team as last year when they were 6-10, but frankly better than their record, except they have a new few pieces on the offensive line. So I expect them to be improved this year.
Yeah, I definitely expect them to improve too, based on both of those moves they made and just their young players continuing to improve as they get more used to the NFL. I expect them to go 8-8 this year.
They're my dark horse to win the NFC West.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, my prediction to win the NFC West is going to be the Cardinals. They went 10-6 last year despite losing Carson Palmer after 6 games. They went 6-0 in those games, and Carson Palmer was frankly incredible. Now, they did lose their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, who went to your team, the Jets, but they also signed tight end Jermaine Gresham, who had 62 catches and 5 touchdowns last year. They should go 12-4 this year, assuming Carson Palmer stays healthy.
Could not disagree more. 12-4 seems absurd to me. They lost 5 defensive starters. They've had a great defense the past couple of years, but their defensive coordinator's gone, like you said. They lost Darnell Dockett, who was probably the cornerstone of that defense.
Really? Not Patrick Peterson?
Patrick Peterson's a great player. Darnell Dockett is where it starts. All defense starts up front. You have to build from the front and work your way back. Patrick Peterson's great. But they also lost Antonio Cromartie on the other side of Patrick Peterson. They lost Dan Williams, Larry Foote retired, John Abraham, I think, is retiring. So they have a lot of problems on their defense. They also have 4 running backs on the injury report right now, and Michael Floyd dislocated two fingers. Wide receivers need fingers.
You make some good points. I still like this team a lot. Carson Palmer is really hitting a sweet spot in his career at the ripe old age of 35. Larry Fitzgerald is going to have a resurgence this year. And their rookie running back, David Johnson, is going to have a great year this year, too. He looks like a stud.
Okay, well, that wraps up the NFC West. We disagree on the Cardinals, obviously. All right, let's move on to the NFC South, which was won by a team with a losing record last year, the Carolina Panthers, 7-8-1.
They were really better than their record, though, and then the rest of the division was just awful. They went 7-8-1, but they finished out the season with four straight wins, and they were dealing with injuries all season, especially to their starting quarterback, Cam Newton. And assuming he can stay healthy, which, granted, is a big assumption, he hasn't been very healthy through his career, they should be very good. Their first-round pick in the draft was outside linebacker Shaq Thompson to bolster an already tough defense. And then they also drafted Devin Funchess. I know you think he was a reach in the draft. He probably was, but I still think he's going to be a great player in the league, and I expect him to help them.
You know, Devin Funchess could be a fine player. My concern is with their defense. Their defense took a big step backwards last year. The year before, they announced themselves as an elite defense. They were probably the toughest defense in the league, but last year they took a big step backwards. If they're going to return to form, it's going to start with Luke Kuechly. This kid is a monster, and he's the leader of that team, and they need him to step up in a big way. This is a team full of tough guys, maybe with the exception of Jonathan Stewart, who gets hurt all the time. But if they're going to take a step forward, it's going to be with Luke Kuechly, and it's going to be with Cam Newton.
Yeah, speaking of Luke Kuechly, Peanut Tillman, longtime Bear, who is now on the Panthers, said that he thinks that Luke Kuechly is as good or possibly better than Brian Urlacher, which is high praise.
It's still a question mark for me. We'll see what the defense does. Let's move on to the Saints. Drew Brees kind of had a down year last year, even though they still had the number one passing offense in the league.
Now, they still have Drew Brees and Sean Payton, but unfortunately, they don't have a whole lot else. The problem with this team is they haven't been drafting very well in the last several years, and so they've had to patch holes through free agency, and in general, they're just in a cap nightmare at the moment, partly also because of Drew Brees' massive contract. They had to cut Pierre Thomas, and they're still, for the last couple years now, have been having cap trouble. They're going to go 7-9 again.
That's probably about right. They did bring in CJ Spiller, who's dynamic but very injury-prone, so he could potentially help them on offense. I did not like what they did in the draft. They brought in Brandon Browner and Kyle Wilson, two defensive backs. Browner's overrated, and Kyle Wilson, we know what he is.
Browner also just got carted off the field with an injury in the first preseason game, so we'll see how that pans out.
Right, and their defense has been the problem for the last few years. They had the number 31 defense out of 32 teams last year. So, yeah, you're probably about right with the 7-9 for the Saints.
Now, the Falcons last year, they went 6-10. They fired their head coach, Mike Smith, and hired the Seahawks defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn. He was one of the top head coaching candidates in this offseason, and that's been a huge problem for them, defense, the past several years. So that should really bolster their team.
Yeah, I mean, they were dead last in defense last year. We know this team can score. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White. We know they've got the talent to score. If Dan Quinn can turn this defense into even an average defense, this team could be trouble.
Yeah, they could absolutely win the division this year. I have them picked to go 8-8, but more than that would not surprise me.
One of their biggest acquisitions in the offseason was Leonard Hankerson, the wide receiver from the Redskins. He has the potential to be a good player in this league, and he has the opportunity to take a big step forward this year. It's going to be between him and Justin Hardy, the rookie wide receiver at Eastern Carolina, who is so talented.
I also really like Vic Beasley, the number 8 overall pick in the draft, outside linebacker out of Clemson. He should really help them out immediately. He's an impact player.
Let's go to the Bucs. We talked about Jameis Winston a little bit with the two big weapons that he has. They also spent their next two picks after Winston on the offensive line, and they grabbed Kenny Bell in the 5th round, a wide receiver of Nebraska who has a ton of potential as well.
Yeah, they went 2-14 last year, but they were really better than their record. Their last 6 games or so of the season, they were in almost all of those games and lost by less than a possession, and several of them they lost by 2 or 3 points. They should definitely be better than 2-14 this year. I'm saying 6-10.
I don't know what the record's going to be, but because Jameis Winston's just so much of a question mark at this point, but their offense should definitely be better. They cycled in Josh McCown and Mike Glennon last year, and they weren't great. They do have two stud wide receivers, so hopefully Jameis can click with them. It's definitely going to help him with his transition into the NFL.
When we come back, we're going to finish up with the NFC East and then cut to Sports Mad.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
And we're back. We're going to continue our NFL season preview with the NFC East right now. This division was won by the Dallas Cowboys last year, 12-4, behind the league's leading rusher, DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, and then they let DeMarco Murray go.
They did.
Now, a big part of DeMarco Murray's success, and don't get me wrong, he's a great running back, but a big part of that success was based on their offensive line, which is incredible. Now, after years of 8-8 mediocrity, they put up a 12-4 season last year, and that was very much thanks to their offensive line.
They did have the best offensive line in the game last year, and it was not close. So we'll see what the running backs can do this year. Joseph Randle looks like he's going to be the guy. Can he come even close to what DeMarco Murray did? That's going to be the question. If he can duplicate 75% of what DeMarco did last year, the Cowboys have a good shot at being a good team.
Tony Romo took his game to a new level last year. And again, in large part, that's thanks to their offensive line. He wasn't running for his life on every fucking play like we're used to seeing. But he played great. And he's a very good quarterback. He gets a lot of hate that's mostly undeserved, so we'll see what happens this year with his play.
He always puts up good numbers, but in the crunch time is where he falters. Cowboys fans hate him for that. They love him for what he does for three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, he just falls apart for some reason. I'm going to have my eye on their defense this year. They've got Sean Lee coming back. He's an outstanding linebacker. They lost him for the season last year with an injury, and they drafted Randy Gregory out of Nebraska. He's the guy who had a lot of problems with weed before the draft, and he slid down to the Cowboys. And they grabbed him. He's a freak athlete.
Yeah, he is. And their other big offseason move, trying to shore up their defense with, I guess you could call it a low-risk, high-reward option, with Greg Hardy signing. Now, Greg Hardy was just convicted of domestic abuse, and his suspension was reduced from 10 games to 4 recently. They signed him to an $11 million deal, which for a guy who with that kind of disciplinary problems is a big contract, but he is a great player.
Well, his contract is not guaranteed, and it's on a game-by-game basis. So if he screws up again, he's going to lose out on pay. And we can't move on from the Cowboys without talking about maybe the best wide receiver in the league, Dez Bryant. This kid is unbelievable.
Dez Bryant just got locked up long-term on a mega contract, but he's well worth the money. He's a bit of a head case, but at the same time, he is just such a talented player. They had to lock him up. He's incredible. So that should be the main difference maker for them this year.
Totally agree. They're the one team in this division that I'm sure is going to be good. The Eagles and the Giants, both question marks for me, but both have the potential to be good teams.
Yeah, the Eagles, where do we even start? Chip Kelly just took his team on a wild ride this offseason.
Sure did, yeah.
They traded Nick Foles, who was okay last season, not great, but the year before he had just an incredible season. His touchdown to interception ratio when he came in several weeks into the season 2 years ago was unheard of. It was like 10-1. But he was not nearly as good last year, and they traded him for Sam Bradford and actually gave up picks. They traded a first-round pick and got a fourth-round pick back, which really confused a lot of people, myself included, because I don't know if I consider Sam Bradford a better quarterback than Nick Foles, all things considered, at this point. But Chip Kelly sees a lot of potential and sees a lot of good side to Sam Bradford. So if he can really unlock Sam Bradford and keep him healthy, which is the biggest issue and always has been with Bradford, they could be doing things this year.
Chip Kelly is playing fantasy football, basically. I mean, he traded his quarterback for another quarterback. Not sure they upgraded there. Traded his running back for another running back. Not sure they upgraded there. They got a new wide receiver, new fullback, two new offensive line. There's six new starters on offense. This is insane. I'm not sure their offense is better than it was last year. And their defense was 28th in the league last year. They didn't do a lot to shore that up either. They brought in Byron Maxwell, and they got rid of Bradley Fletcher, who got torched last year by Dez Bryant. And they brought in Byron Maxwell to replace him. But the defense is a big question mark for me. Kiko Alonso, Sam Bradford, and DeMarco Murray are all on the injury report already. So this is a huge question mark, this team.
Now, of course, we haven't talked yet about the single biggest offseason story of all. You know where I'm going with this, Steve. The Eagles signed Tim Tebow.
No response. I'm choosing not to talk about this. You can say whatever you want to say.
Obviously, I'm kidding. He's a third stringer. I'd love to see him get some playing time. He probably is going to suck. It's Tim Tebow. But you know what? The guy wins, so I'd like to see him out there.
Let's talk about the Giants. Eli Manning actually had a good year last year. He put up 4,400 yards passing. He could put up 5,000 yards this year because they've got Odell Beckham Jr. I think his numbers will dip a little bit with Victor Cruz coming back and the continued development of Reuben Randle. But I'm looking for a big year out of Eli as long as he can keep the INTs down.
Yeah, I fully expect Odell Beckham Jr. to be the best wide receiver in the game within the next 2 years. He is so talented. He's a little undersized. I tend to prefer wide receivers who are at least 6'2", and he's nowhere close to that. But he is just a monster. He's so explosive. He can change directions on a dime. He's got to take the top off a defense kind of speed. He changes the game for them.
Absolutely. He's just going to see less targets this year with Victor Cruz coming back. And Shane Vereen's on the team now, too. And he gets a lot of targets in the passing game, even though he's a running back. So Odell Beckham's going to have less chances this year, but that doesn't change the amount of talent that he has.
And speaking of wide receivers, they also signed James Jones, who's getting up there in years, but he's still a pretty good wide receiver. Last year on the Raiders, he had 666 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's okay. That's not bad.
No, it's definitely not bad. When that's your third wide receiver or fourth wide receiver on the depth chart, that's incredible.
True. They lost some pieces on defense. Kiwanuka's gone. Jaquan Williams and Antrell Roll are all gone. And they drafted Landon Collins, the safety at Alabama, and he's already a leader on that defense. So that was a great pick for them. And Jason Pierre-Paul blew off a couple of his fingers. Don't know how effective he's going
to
be.
Yeah, he should still be pretty good. It's hard to say because we've never really seen something like that I can recall from an elite player. But he's still just such a freak athlete that he should still be good. And the last team we got to talk about is the Redskins. They went 4-12 last year. We still don't really know who the quarterback's going to be. It should be RG3 to start the season, but we'll see how that pans out long term.
He's going to be the quarterback, but this team is in total disarray. They definitely have the potential to be the worst team in the NFL this year. Their coach hates the quarterback, which is not a good place to start.
Absolutely not. And then they signed defensive lineman Stephen Paya to help a defense that's just in disarray.
And Terrence Knighton, pot roast.
Stephen Paya was on the Bears last year. He was one of their few good defensive players, made some great impact plays. He could really help shore things up in the middle there. But they also named a new GM, a new defensive coordinator, and a bunch of new assistant coaches. Jay Gruden is still the head coach, but a lot of turnover in their front office and in the coaching staff. We'll see how that all pans out for them.
And your heart breaks for Niles Paul. This was going to be his year. He was their starting tight end, but in the first preseason game, he fractured and dislocated his ankle. He's out for the season, and he was crying on the field. It's so hard to see stuff like that happen.
That's just brutal. You always hate to see a season end before it even starts. That wraps it up for this week's season preview. You ready for Sports Madness, Steve?
Let's do it!
Sports Madness.
First Sports Madness story comes to us from the great state of Michigan. University of Michigan, their Facebook page got hacked. The hacker started sending out links from the Michigan official verified Facebook page to softcore porn. Dirty links like 16 reasons why we love hot booty and sexy tattoos.
There's way more than 16 reasons. But yeah, this was hilarious. I saw this as it was happening on my Facebook feed and I was cracking up. I was like, what is going on in Ann Arbor? I thought maybe Jim Harbaugh took it over.
Yeah, my guess is it was someone from Ohio State that cracked it. Just like, hey, fuck you, Michigan. This is our conference.
Not a bad guess. Our next story is from NFL preseason. The Green Bay Packers, in their first game, kicked a field goal in the first quarter of their first preseason game. It was like a 25-yard field goal. It was not an exciting play. But the announcer on the Spanish language station went berserk. You can see how long this is going on. Absolutely insane. Everyone on the field is just kind of walking off like, yeah, I made it. Let's get ready for kickoff. And he's just still going nuts.
None of the players obviously have any idea this is going on. Meanwhile, the Spanish language fans are probably just like, the fuck? It's a field goal.
They're used to doing this for soccer, which when you score a goal in soccer, it's a big deal. But kicking a 25-yard field goal in the first quarter of your first preseason game probably doesn't warrant this.
Our last story comes to us from the Detroit Lions, who straight up disrespected the New York Jets. When the Jets announced that Geno Smith was going to be inactive for the game, which we all knew because he has a broken jaw and just had surgery, the Lions played the song, I Can't Feel My Face.
You know your team's struggling when you're getting dissed by the Lions. This is bad. I mean, I haven't felt this bad as a Jets fan since the butt fumble.
Oh, the butt fumble. I miss the butt fumble.
How do you miss it? It never goes away. I feel like I see that thing once a week.
That's it for today. Join us next week on Sports Appeal. Tweet at us at the Sports Appeal. As always, we are produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio, and playing us out is going to be Crickets and Spiders by Full Service. Everybody's gone. Join us next week here on Sports Appeal. Tweet at us, asshole. Tweet at us.
Tweet at us, yeah. Asshole? Tweet at us, asshole, you motherfucker.
We hate you.
Hazard Audio.